Morrison in the dojo and dynamite. Dynamo Japan and ring is out of sight. All elite TNT make it feel right. New Japan All Elite, time to unite. One's named Rich, the other Ashley.
The number one pod for the whole family.
Time to fill your wrestling appetite. Now it's time to start dojo and dynamite.
Yeah, it's time for dojo and dynamite. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Ashley and Rich here with episode 90 of Dojo and Dynamite. It is Sunday, August 29th, and I can't believe we are 90 episodes in.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. 90 episodes.
Creeping up on episode 100, I think we should do something special.
Yeah, we have to.
For that. But episode 90, here we are. Approaching All Out Weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a different style of episode coming into this, because I mean, look, we're not going to be able to cover Dynamite and Rampage next week because All Out's going to be the recap show. So we're going to do kind of a preview. We'll talk about what's coming up next week. We'll talk about All Out. We'll talk about what we're expecting from the show, big surprises, the big matches. We'll talk about everything that's going on right now. I mean, a lot of things going on, a lot of wrestling shows going on that weekend. Also a lot of changes. Impact Wrestling signed a bunch of guys. We'll just talk in general. I mean, look, wrestling's booming right now. We're hitting the fall. Football's coming back. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good things happening.
This has nothing to do with football, though.
We have a giant fantasy football draft.
I'm not prepared for that.
On Monday, not
at all.
You have the number one overall pick.
Jarvis Landry.
Derrick Henry, Ash. Jarvis is later on.
Round two.
No, you cannot pick Jarvis Landry round two.
But I play with heart. I follow my heart. And
well, that's why the podcast would be great for fantasy football. I mean, look, if you guys are into it, you guys want to talk about fantasy football, if you guys do any of that stuff, we're thinking about doing a podcast for that also coming up in the near future, because I just think it would be enjoyable to listen to the ranting of,
I don't know, man. I am
performance
ill-prepared this year.
Yeah, really. We used to really prepare ourselves on that. And this year, I haven't even looked at, I don't even know what, I don't know anything.
Nope.
And the Ravens running back got hurt yesterday, tore his ACL, changes the dynamic, J.K. Dobbins, wish him a speedy recovery, but
Jarvis or bust, he's my MVP.
Nonetheless, we're going to talk about some of the Dynamite this past week, a little bit of the Rampage, which was kind of a, you know, this is the type of show that Rampage is going to give us, you know, recording. The Rampage was actually kind of better than the Dynamite was, but I mean, we have to talk about the tag team thing again. I mean, this is just, at some point, you know, Ash.
I'm actually not gonna even get into that this week. We have the Lucha Bros facing the Young Bucks at All Out in the steel cage for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. From a match standpoint, I'm excited. That was kind of the outcome I was hoping for in terms of like the matchup itself.
But makes no sense.
No, story-wise, it doesn't.
It makes zero sense. You're going to be building this thing, obviously, with Jurassic Express. They made a decision whether or not it was internally saying, well, everybody expects this to be the case. It was almost like a swerve for the sake of swerve. And now the Lucha Bros, which, again, Lucha Bros Young Bucks have terrific matches, but again, the Lucha Bros, and how many iterations of the Lucha Bros did we have? It's like the sixth time they've challenged them. You had like Fenix and Pac, and you had Penta and Pac, and you had like Eddie Kingston in there, and you had like Lance Archer at one point. I mean, then you had Moxley. I mean, this is like out of control. And then you have this big build for Jurassic Express. You're going to sell that these guys are potentially going to be the tag team champions come the pay-per-view. And then now it's Lucha Brothers because you want to pull the, you know, you, what do they want to pull the hood off? Or they, what do they want? They pull the sheet in front of your eyes or whatever that
I don't know.
We talked
last week. I wasn't thrilled about another Jurassic Express match. So I'm looking forward to this, I guess. But it's still, I don't expect the Lucha Bros to win, so I don't really know. Like,
look,
I don't know.
And this is just going to come from, I repeat it every single week, and I can't continue to do rants about it because it's not going to change anything. It just irritates me. But it's the same thing with these guys, the tag team, the booking. The booking right now in AEW is bad. It's bad. And it's not bad across the board. That's not what I mean.
It's the
title
scene.
Picture. these titles, they think they mean something. The way that they book their shows, these titles mean nothing. These guys hold the belts for 300 days. They beat everybody in the division. There's no back and forth. There's no competitive edge. It's not like, you know, hey, the Lucha Brothers got us this time, and 3 months later, we got the Lucha Brothers back, or vice versa. And again, it doesn't have to come from the Young Bucks. I always thought the Young Bucks needed to be kind of the standard bearer, and I've said this multiple times. They're the team that should be beaten for the tag team championships. They're the best team in the division. So, you know, the Young Bucks win the tag team titles. They hold it for 3 months or so. Maybe they lose it to an up-and-coming team if it's Jurassic Express. Jurassic Express has a couple of battles. Maybe FTR gets it, you know, 5 months later, and then, you know, after that, it's back to the Young Bucks again in another war, this time in a different way, different style. Now they're facing FTR. They don't have to go through everybody every time somebody wins the tag team championships. You have such a competitive group, and all you've done is alienate the top group from the rest of them. And it has nothing to do with the Young Bucks. Again, it has nothing to do with the Young Bucks. It's the booking. It could have been any team that you've done this to. But what you've done is you've said this is the team that is far and beyond the best team, better than all the rest of the teams, because of the way that you've booked the tag team titles. Now, if anybody beats them, how is that believable? And then, what, the Bucks can't get it back? What, they lost their edge all of a sudden, and now they can never win the tag team championships again because it's kind of like, hey, it's your turn. Hey, it's your turn. This is just bad booking.
I can't talk about it anymore.
No,
I
can't.
It's the same conversation.
It's very, very frustrating. Instead of making an elite group or an elite level or elite collection of wrestlers or competitors who will go back and forth, and we're not talking about flip-flopping, but will compete heavily and have great matches against one another, diverse matchups for the tag team championships, giving these individuals something to fight for, the rest of these teams sit in limbo. Now, I know Cash Wheeler had an injury, but, I mean, you know, and they also want to protect these guys, so then these teams can't even wrestle on TV. Why are Proud and Powerful and FTR not featured prominently? Because they're protected. But they got to be protected for a year, and you're paying these guys, and they're not working. And it's not their fault they're not working. They want to work. They want to have matches. It's bad right now. It's bad from the top down. Just because, we've said this, I said this multiple times, we're just going to finish it up here, just because a team has the belt or an individual has the belt for a long time doesn't mean that that's better than any other way of writing it. And right now, the booking, if it's Kenny Omega's booking, if it's the champ, it's not Kenny Omega. Again, it's not the wrestlers. It's the booking of the championship. These championships are booked poorly. They face competitors, especially in the world title picture, that are not going to win the world championship, that don't really have a chance to win the world championship based on their, you know, their parameters. And you're not giving, now I understand you want to hide the high-level matchups, but there's so many high-level matchups that you can have, and they're so diverse that different champions can have opportunities against different wrestlers. But all you do, like we've talked about, is run the gamut of the same individuals for the championship every time there's a new champion crowned. And this is just, it's repetitive, it's redundant, it's boring, it's stale. And unfortunately, you take your eyes off of it, and you don't. And the titles mean less. People think the titles mean more. The titles don't mean anything. The stories are what take the precedent.
But as repetitive as it is, from a match standpoint, the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks always deliver. I'm excited to see them in the steel cage. We had Escalera de la Muerte at All Out 2019. Get the Lucha Bros versus the Bucks here in the steel cage, All Out 2021. It'll be entertaining.
The big question is going to be, are the Lucha Bros going to be the team that beats them? Because we've heard, I mean, maybe we haven't heard. I don't know if we've heard. I might have just made this up. But when it comes to booking people, I'm going to, you know, kind of throw this out there. When you have individuals who have other, I don't want to call them bookings, but they have other things that are going on, whether or not it's commitment issues, whether or not it's a lot, you know, you have a lot of other, again, the Lucha Brothers wrestle in so many different programs. They wrestle in so many different companies. They wrestle in different countries. They are committed. They work like 5 days a week. I don't know about right now, but it was one of the reasons why maybe they didn't want to give the titles to it, because what type of commitment are we going to have from you guys going forward? And then on top of that, do you risk the injury potentially of these individuals being on the indie scene, working the types of matches that they have, and how many times have they been injured? Just a little banged up. I'm not talking about injuries, but you know, that could potentially miss time. And do you want to commit a world championship to these individuals who are not 100% committed or dedicated to your television product? So that's sort of that question mark. And that happens across the board when you're booking guys. You know, when we're booking guys, it's like, hey, you know, do we really want to give them a championship? Are they going to be here for this date? Are they going to be here for this date? Well, no. Then how can we tell a story and how can we build something if we can't get them on these dates? So it's like, you know, maybe now the Lucha Brothers are full-time. Maybe they're more committed than before. Maybe they have less dates because of the COVID. And maybe it's their turn. Maybe it's their time. I know Ashley's been holding out hope, and I think a lot of people are, that Proud and Powerful will get the championships. It would only make sense, really, for Proud and Powerful to take it from the Young Bucks.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Match should be very, very good. I mean, you're talking about a steel cage match, Lucha Brothers, Young Bucks. It's again, it's a different wrinkle. I like that.
Yeah, and considering the options that we had in the Eliminator tournament, I mean, this was the matchup that I was most looking forward to. And you add that stipulation, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a match. There's no doubt there.
But it was something that, again, just doesn't, the story doesn't make sense. This came out of nowhere. It's like the sixth time they're wrestling. Jurassic Express just gets, what, forgotten about now? Because, again, these guys just sit in limbo while the tag team championships just sit on top of another. You know, it's like you can tell stories separately or independently and give these individuals time. Right now, it's just when somebody holds the belt as long as they have, and look at the guys who have had, look at the individuals who have had the belt, as we said. It's Adam Page, it's Omega, it's the Young Bucks, it's SCU, and FTR.
FTR, yep.
And FTR's reign was great. I think FTR had the best reign of all of them, if you want to, you know, put it point blank. Basically, their story was they beat all the tag teams to get to the end. They beat Omega and Hangman. They win the tag team titles, and they have one tag team left, and it's the Young Bucks, and it's the battle for best in the world. I think that was a great story. They had the belt for like, what, 2 months, 3 months? It was a perfect story. It was the right time. It was the right team winning in the way, in the story and everything, you know, given. It was great, but why can't FTR win the belts back? Why have the Young Bucks had the belts for a year now, and FTR has never had another title match? This doesn't make any terrible booking. It's awful. So, look, hopefully this match, obviously the matches can deliver. Their matches always deliver. Match is going to be tremendous. It's just, from a creative standpoint, just because you have the championship doesn't make you better than anybody else. And, you know, right now it's hurting everybody else. It's hurting. It's hurting the division. It's hurting the competitiveness of the division, which was once the best tag team division in the entire world. The way that they've booked this championship hurts everybody else, makes them feel less important.
Moving along, though, as of now, we've got 10 matches announced for All Out. So I don't know if the card is complete, but we've got a pretty stacked show. So, of course, we just talked about the tag team championship match. We've got the Women's Casino Battle Royale,
which I think is excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, we'll see who's going to be in that. Obviously, you know, there's been rumors of maybe Ruby Soho being involved, which would be just terrific.
I would love to see that. Absolutely. Yeah. But they haven't announced all participants as of yet, but I think that's going to be great. Is that on the buy-in?
I don't actually know. Well, I mean, I don't know if they've announced what's on buy-in and what isn't. I know that Tay Conti's announced for it. Red Velvet's announced for
Nyla.
It. Nyla's announced for it. I don't know. I saw the graphic.
I think there's nine women announced. I don't have them written down, but I believe there's nine
yeah,
ladies
big
as
time,
of now.
Big time names. It's not people from outside that are coming in, you know, but they've done before because they didn't have enough women on the roster. It was kind of like you had people from the outside kind of competing. So there's going to be some of that, but, you know, a lot of individuals in this match, a lot of big time. So
yeah, no, that'll be cool. We've got Paul White versus QT Marshall, which we had brooding over the past few weeks. Just hoping this one is quick.
This is one of those matches that doesn't have to be on pay-per-view, and I don't understand why we've gotten to that point. And I don't... It's... I understand what QT Marshall's there for. QT Marshall is the leader of the young group. He's tasked with these individuals who are in his school. He's training them, preparing them, and they've aligned themselves with the vision of QT Marshall, which could be, in the when you're telling a story, it's a distorted vision. He's a bad guy. It's a vision of the company he thinks he wants. They've aligned with the person that has led them, the person that has trained them, the person that they trust. This is a good story.
I think QT's stories are very good, but the execution just seems to fall flat for me.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
There was
no... At their core, I think they're meaningful.
Like, you know, they attack Tony Schiavone's son for absolutely no reason. And then Paul White comes to defend, as he should. Makes sense. That's not outside the box. Then you start talking about Paul White's hip, which... I liked the callback to the Roddy Piper segment, but that kind of felt like it was completely out of nowhere also. And then on top of that, QT Marshall, and it's not against him, but it's discombobulated. QT Marshall's a very good wrestler. He is. He's a very, very good wrestler. He doesn't necessarily come off as a guy that needs to be on pay-per-view consistently. You know, he comes off to me more as the way his character is, the way his story is. It's a very good manager role. But again, he's got young guys who just really aren't ready yet to be competing full-time on pay-per-view. You saw that with the Agogo match. You know, they're not quite ready yet. So he has to kind of handle that load and have these matches. And QT Marshall, I'm sure, has been working with Paul White. I'm sure that he's confident in working with Paul White. Maybe they've had some trainings, or Paul stopped by the facility and they've worked on their match. You know, whatever the case is, and that could be a comfort thing as Paul's getting back in the ring, a guy who will bump for him. But, you know, in this current state, as you had said, it's always so discombobulated with whatever QT's doing. And this just doesn't feel like it has any importance at all. And you're putting it on the pay-per-view, and that's just not something that people are going to buy. That's not something that you're gonna be able to sell.
But like, when you break it down, like, what he's here for, what he stands for as the trainer, like, I think, as I said, at its core, he's a very valuable asset to AEW, to the roster, and in terms of storytelling, it's just... they lose me.
Yeah, it has nothing to do, really, with QT. He is an integral part of what AEW does when it comes to the backstage, when it comes to the front. He is very, very, very important to what it is that AEW is.
And I liked the Cody story.
And the Cody story was tremendous.
But then it just, I don't know.
Because it's two guys who were partners, who built this school together, who had two completely different visions of what they wanted, and they had the alignments of the Nightmare Family and the Nightmare Factory, and you had these guys going to war. It was really a good story. It really, really was. It just was so discombobulated. And it's like everything that QT does, it's like, I don't know if he's trying too hard, because it's not like it's outside the box stuff, but if you pitched me the story, I'd love it. If I was sitting there and we had this big pitch and we were sitting at the table and we were talking about it all night, I would love the story.
Yeah.
I really would. I'd be like, all right, let's run this.
Break it down. It's good.
Oh yeah, and you want it. You know, you want to dot your I's and cross your T's, right? You want to make sure. And they've done that. They did that excellent. They divided it up between what was the Nightmare Family, Nightmare Factory. You have people looking at these two different visions of what the future of wrestling is supposed to be, and they compete over it, and it's great. It really is a terrific story. It's just the execution was so poor. And it just feels like maybe the crowd doesn't care about QT Marshall and his group, and that's unfortunate, because, again, it is a very, very good story. It's just... for some reason, they're all over the place. We don't know why he brought up Paul White's hip, because it wasn't like they made a match already. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know. And then, you know, Paul's out there like, I'm getting angry. And it's like, oh, okay, like, what are you getting angry about? Like, I don't, it's such a weird segment. It was a weird promo. It was a weird feud. It just doesn't have any hype, any heat going into the pay-per-view. And it just doesn't necessarily need to be on the card. Maybe he could be in the buy-in, I don't know. You know, but I'm glad to see Paul White back in the ring, and hopefully, you know, they'll find something for him to do going forward.
Yeah, I agree. Then we've got Jericho versus MJF. And guys, last week I said I hope that we were done, and we are not yet over. This should be the end of it, though. Jericho versus MJF at All Out. If Jericho loses, he is retiring from AEW in-ring action forever.
and moving to the booth. And right as that happens, you kind of get a little hint that, like, you know, maybe Jim Ross is leaving the booth. So
I saw those headlines.
They kind of drop that, like, oh, well, you know, Jericho could lose. Oh, Jim Ross is going to leave. Jericho could take that spot.
Ugh, listen, man. I don't have much more to say. I mean, I had hoped that was going to be the end of it, but this should be the final chapter.
Yeah, and at the very least, and this is to be truthful, the Jericho match against MJF was good. It was very good. And it's good, you know, it's good to see Jericho back out there. Very serious things. He had a great match against Shawn Spears. He had a very good match against Nick Gage. He had that match against Wardlow, which, again, I just felt very disjointed. It was a bunch of power bombs. It was middle of picture in picture that they did the angle and stuff. So that match was all right. But, you know, the MJF match was very good.
Oh, it was, yeah.
I like what they're going to go here, you know, what direction they're going for. They're using this stip as a, like, they're using the angle as a stip instead of having, like, a stip for the match, which usually when you do a rematch, even with Christian Cage's match, you kind of want to maybe do a stip for it. So maybe we'll get a no DQ or something. I don't know. We'll get some type of stip for it. But they're trying to use the angle.
Match quality is rarely a problem here.
No, and Jericho and MJF have had nice matches.
They work really nicely together,
It'll be a solid match. Again, it might not be the most exciting since we've seen it for 6 months, but it's still a match that I am willing to watch on pay-per-view. The quality will be high.
Yeah.
I don't mind whatever Jericho ends up doing. Jericho's been good past 6 months. I do hope that he does win because, again, like I said, he's hot as a babyface right now. Crowd really likes him.
Oh, he's extremely valuable.
A babyface Jericho run with a lot of the heels that AEW has, this could be good. This could be helpful.
I don't disagree with you in that regard. Now, the match, I think the match itself that I am most looking forward to in terms of wrestling is Andrade versus Pac. Are they fighting for custody of the Lucha Bros?
Like Dominic Mysterio on the ladder or whatever?
I feel like we've got Death Triangle at stake here. But like from a wrestling match standpoint, this one has me super hyped.
Yeah, Andrade versus Pac is like legit what you are hoping to see in a wrestling match. So obviously we haven't seen Pac work in a while. Don't know if there's something going on, if he isn't here, you know, whatever. You know, but this is going to be big. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. This is going to be the best wrestling match. I mean, Christian Cage and Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, that's a steel cage. But this one and those, that one, Christian Cage and Omega, and this one, Andrade versus Pac, I think are going to be the two best wrestling matches of the night.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to this match. It doesn't even need to build itself. Yeah, they've had some promos back and forth, and obviously Andrade's been busy too. He had to go down to AAA, and he had to wrestle Kenny Omega. But, you know, this one, almost for a wrestling fan, doesn't have to build itself. You put the two on the card, you look at the match, you go, well, holy shit, they're going to get half an hour. And I'm, you know. So, I mean, that's just as good as it gets. There's not much really to talk about.
No, we've built an immense appreciation for Pac. I think he is extremely valuable to the roster. Love seeing what Andrade is doing. So this one has me super, super hyped.
And it's kind of, in a way, what NXT used to do so well was take, you know, two wrestlers that you knew were going to have a great match and put them together. And you were just like, oh, well, you don't even have to tell a story. Just put them there.
Another one, though, that has high anticipation, of course, is going to be CM Punk versus Darby Allin. Not much to say there, also.
No, we've talked about it in depth. Obviously, we'll see what this match includes. Again, it's got Sting in it. Sting, CM Punk, Darby Allin. I mean, the...
And a hot Chicago crowd.
I mean, it's almost like a 20-year gap between each one of these guys in terms of, like, the diversity of age. It's an experience. It's just really
going to be different generations of wrestling.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I mean, I don't know if Darby's going to work as a heel. We'll see what happens, you know, given how Chicago, I'm sure, is going to support CM Punk. We'll see if they boo Darby on. I don't know. We'll be there. I don't know how I'm going to feel. We'll follow the crowd. We're there for a good time. So
we're going to have a blast. But kicking it back to Dynamite, CM Punk made his Dynamite debut. Couldn't hear Tony Schiavone on the mic because the crowd was so hyped for him, which was a wonderful moment. But he teased a little Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, which could be some type of involvement maybe at the end of one of the matches. Could be involved with Darby Allin. Could be involved with Christian Cage or Omega. You don't know what's going to happen.
I love how organically that came about, though. The crowd just chanting yes, and he's like, ah, you guys are going to have to be a little more patient. Love that moment, but we'll have to see, right?
Yeah, there's some rumors about potentially him showing up at All Out instead of at the Arthur Ashe show. And it makes sense from, you know, you look at it from that perspective, because there are questions about whether or not only will the show go on. I think the show will go on Arthur Ashe, but there are questions about, you know, potential vaccine limitations of whether or not individuals can get into the show. And that could affect the attendance of the, you know, the amount of individuals in attendance of the show. And maybe it's better, you know, with those types of questions to just kind of accelerate the process. You got a packed house in the Now Arena. I do believe a mask mandate's in place. So everybody make sure if they are going to bring their masks so that you don't get stuck outside. But nonetheless, it could be huge, and that's obviously going to have ramifications. You have Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, I believe is what his, the Cult of Wyndham is his new name. You have potentially Adam Cole. I mean, this is a massive set, and we've talked about how AEW, you know, a year ago was struggling with who they had in the main event, and now it's like, don't forget about who they had in the main event, you know?
Yeah.
You have these guys coming in, potentially, you know, if it's Rotunda, if it's Adam Cole, if it's Bryan Danielson, and you don't want to forget about Jon Moxley, who, again, it's the booking's been piss poor, but, you know, could be champion, should be champion again. He's still the biggest star, as much as Omega is, as much, you know, Jericho and CM Punk now, of course. But, I mean, Jon Moxley, don't forget about Jon Moxley.
Well, looks like, another thing we can't let go of is these trio titles. And looks like the way things have been going, Mox may be one of the first teams to win with Eddie Kingston and Darby.
I want to see tag teams, too, winning these championships. Like, you know, Best Friends is such a good group.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this is a title that was built for them. Obviously, you know, let's hope that Trent gets back soon. But it was, you know, it's a title that's built for them. Like, they missed the boat on Best Friends winning the tag titles, which they should have just done. There was no reason why they didn't have to win it.
I don't even want to talk about that. And, that was so sad.
Exactly. There was no point. What is the point? Give them the tag titles. They get over, popular tag team. They look like they can beat some of the best in the business, as they can beat some of the best in the business. And then you can give the belts back to somebody else. It's not a big deal.
That was heartbreaking. But, no, I mean, the trio's teams are coming together. We've got the Wingmen that Mox, Kingston, and Darby faced last week.
Yeah, 2.0 with Daniel Garcia, potentially.
The Gun Club, the Factory, Death Triangle, if they stay together, Best Friends. You could even do the Elite.
Now, I wish that SCU was still there. But.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, we're seeing a bunch of trios teams coming together, and it seems like Mox could be the first group, Karaoke Crew, to run away with those belts. And, I mean, I wouldn't hate it.
No, I wouldn't hate that at all. It's
but,
a great team.
Like you said, I think this is a good opportunity as well for the tag teams to get involved. Just to spice up the action.
Yeah, I've enjoyed all the stuff that Moxley's done. Again, I think that Moxley's been absolutely terrific. I mean, again, Eddie Kingston's been very enjoyable to watch, and it's a good spot for him to be in. You know, he's telling good stories, cutting good promos. You put him in the trios tag. He works with Moxley, works with Darby, if that's the way they're going to go. Two guys that he's very comfortable with. It kind of just seems like they all mesh together. They're kind of like, you know, they're almost like a different cut.
Yeah.
You know, but then you got Team Taz maybe even that can come together, and Hook can have an opportunity maybe if you're not ready for Hook to, you know, get singles action. You get him in a trios, even less work he's got to do. Just get some exposure for TV, get some experience. I mean,
great,
that's the way to go.
There. Then you got the Pinnacle.
Yep.
FTR.
If they're even a fucking thing anymore.
FTR and Spears, FTR and Wardlow, Proud and Powerful and Hager, Proud and Powerful and Sammy for
Well, you got to figure out
circle.
What to do with Hager too. There are some guys now
HFO.
That you start to look at. That, you know, you got to figure out what the hell is going on with them. You know, I mean, what do you do with Jake Hager? Is he one of those guys that when the contract's up, you kind of say, well, you know, unfortunately, we don't have anything for you? I mean, that's one of those things. And you don't want anybody to let go. So, they're not firing anybody. That's not what I mean. But, you know, when the contract comes up and you know, Hager gets renewed, or, you know, if he has the option to get renewed, do you kind of look at Hager and go, look, this didn't work out? You know, is the Pinnacle even a thing? And we talked a little bit about FTR last week, didn't we? We did, I think, about how they, you know, their tweet, and you kind of had, like, it feels like, you know, I don't know what's going on with them, whether or not this is work or a shoot.
Up this week, we have FTR versus Prime Powerful again, I believe.
Yeah, because you want to run that back. You don't want the match to end in, like, a call like that. But, you know, just go right to the finish. But nonetheless, I mean, if FTR is unhappy, you know, I kind of, you know, gave a little bit to them, but it's like, you know, look, it's they haven't been on television. They're overprotected, and they don't get a chance to work. So, I mean, look, if they want to work and have an opportunity maybe to go outside the company and have a chance to wrestle other individuals, then they should do it. Because, look, no one's getting younger here, you know, in that way. Like, they don't want to sit on the sidelines. They want to wrestle. You know, and hopefully Cash gets back and healthy, but you know what I'm trying to say. So, you know, we'll see. It's just the booking's been all over the place, and, you know, they keep adding individuals, and at some point, some people have to go. There's just not enough space for everybody. And when you're running the same matches or similar people on Rampage that you're running on Dynamite, which is just not the way that they should be booking it right now, you have a lot of people that you have to highlight. You have to, you know, Miro has been on TV cutting promos. He hasn't wrestled.
But speaking of Miro, speaking of Kingston and Mox, the Redeemer will be facing Eddie Kingston for the TNT Championship at All Out. That's another exciting matchup.
Oh yeah, that's great. And again, he's the best in the entire company right now. His story is the best. The TNT title has been one of the better book titles that AEW's had.
Yep.
I like the way that they've done it. I love the Redeemer. This is fantastic. You know, we'll see if maybe Lana makes an appearance with this character at some point. He does plug her a lot.
He loves his wife.
He does love his
God
wife.
God bless.
But you know, this is a circumstance that, hey, you know what? Look, this is a great character, one of the best characters that I've ever seen. He's going up against Eddie Kingston. The promo should be tremendous. Eddie Kingston, you know, I mean, look, he's going to shoot on that. That's going to be great. And they're going to have a match at All Out. I mean, it's the right opponent. Eddie Kingston's a great guy for the TNT title. It's a great division. You know, obviously, Miro feels like he's destined for more. But right now, I mean, he's carrying this thing. This is fantastic.
This is one of the best things.
And then Moxley
versus Kojima.
Has Kojima, which is, again, another great match. It's a great matchup.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, some people felt like it should be on the Dynamite. But at the same time, I mean, Kojima is a great wrestler. And the way that Moxley works, the style he works, the style Kojima works, I mean, these guys are going to tear it up. These guys are going to they're going to hit each other, and they're going to tear it up. And, you know, there could be other things that come of it. You know, Minoru Suzuki is in America. I mean, he can make an appearance maybe to set something up. Tanahashi versus Moxley, I'm sure, is not off the table. They got to do that in New Japan at some point. He needs a rematch. So, I mean, you know, this is stuff that's going to be coming. Moxley will probably get more involved with those guys as they go forward because the stories are kind of dictating that. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, Lance Archer's involved with Dan Lambert. I'd like to see what's going on there. And you have Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page involved with Lance Archer. So maybe that could be added to the show of some sort
way. Yeah, we'll
see.
Answers to our initial questions. The Men of the Year have aligned themselves with Dan Lambert. Will that lead to, like a handicap match or something, or singles match at All Out between Archer and either Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, or maybe both? We'll see. But that occurred. Back to the All Out card. We've got women's title action, Dr. Britt versus Chris Statlander.
Yeah, which is the right match right now.
Statlander
came back. She's looked great. Obviously, big baby face. I mean, she's recovered from her ACL injury.
And Dr. Britt is just adding to her posse with Reba and
Jamie Hayter. Terrific. That was a great ad. They've booked the women really well too. They've done a nice job with the women since, you know, with the way when Britt Baker won it. Obviously, Sheeta's title reign was one of those title reigns that felt like, why is she still champion? And that was unfortunate because she literally didn't even wrestle. And now she hasn't even been on television since. And it's like, you know, you got to get these women on TV. And like we said, there's rematches or repeat individuals, not segments. It's fine to cut promos, but you're having, you know, matches that are the same individuals on the Rampages, and it's like, you know, Hikaru Shida is not on television.
But Rampage did just start, and are gearing up for the pay-per-view, so I think, you know, they're just giving us that build, of course.
But, you know, one of the things, too, is like, why are these shows terrible? I mean, I don't mean that in offense to anybody. I mean, because of course Dynamite's still good. I mean, but you're talking about just a lot of squash matches, a lot of matches. Like, look at the main event last week.
I
get it. Look, I made a comment that, you know, it was Why is the Gun Club versus the Factory on TV? Well, you know, these are the young individuals. These are the ones that they want to advertise potentially for the future. So these are individuals that you want to get TV time. You don't have to stack a card with people that they already know. Yeah, but you have to have names they know. And you put these individuals in a match on the card, and it gets them exposure to an audience that you're introducing them to, if it's a larger scale audience than the average, which they anticipated with CM Punk making his Dynamite debut. I totally get that. Totally get that. But they did that across the card, which made the card substantially weaker. And you main evented with Brock Anderson versus Malakai Black, which really wasn't even a bad match. I Arn Anderson's facial expression when, you know, Brock got hit with the black mass was just like, told you you're gonna die out there. But, you know, it was really a good match. It was a nice little segment, nice little visual, you know, but then Lee Johnson comes for the save in the main event of the show with a million eyeballs on this thing. That's terrible. It's not Lee. It's Lee can come out, but where's Cody?
Yeah.
How do you run a conclusion segment with a guy that people are just, they just don't know who he is. They're not familiar with him. He's had a couple of matches, and I like Lee Johnson. I've complimented him on many occasions, and it has nothing to do with Lee.
I think it is a great position to put him in, and that shows how highly AEW thinks of him, and it's not to take away from him and his ability. But yeah, like you said, that, you know, we're sitting here expecting Cody. Who's going
to
come
supposed
out?
To
Where's
believe,
Cody?
Yes, and we're then, supposed to believe that Lee Johnson's going to come for the save? No,
it was
not yet.
Anticlimactic in that sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was the wrong move. It was a bad conclusion. It was a bad match to put in the main event. It wasn't a bad match in general. It just, but you're coupling that with that six-man tag that you could have had, but when the card looks the way that it looks, I don't know. It was, you know, you opened up with Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy, which was enjoyable, but again, it's kind of like a shtick thing. So you opened up with a shtick thing, and you had a couple of very unknown wrestlers kind of running through this card with a CM Punk ad in the middle.
Yeah, Lucha Bros versus Varsity Blondes for the Eliminator Tournament. Red Velvet versus Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, again, you know, Red Velvet, Jamie Hayter, young individuals kind of feels more like, again, Jamie Hayter being on TV is good. Red Velvet's good. You know, that's
a fine match. Hayter looked great in her return. She looked very strong and dominant, but,
you know, again, but two of the individuals that are not necessarily big names for the women's division, and you're coupling that with all the rest of the lack of big names. So it was tough. It's a bad show. It was a tough show. But I give them credit for trying it. I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm not watching this crap and, you know, criticizing it left and right because they put these guys on there. They tried something outside the box. I can't say that it worked.
They did what we essentially have been asking in terms of diversifying.
Yeah, definitely diversifying. It's just that you didn't couple any of those individuals with any names at all. You know, I mean, hey, you know, you're getting eyeballs, potentially old fans, potentially fans from WWE that you may convert, and you didn't give them guys that they're familiar with, like, you know, having Miro wrestling big time match. No, and, you know, we have Matt Hardy doing like a shtick thing, and not everybody's into Matt Hardy. No offense, but not everybody's into the Matt Hardy stuff. So I've been very complimentary of him, but it's one of those things that, you know, it was a weak, weak, weak card from top down. It still did really great in the numbers, but it was a weak, weak, weak card. And, you know, people are trying to come out and say that it has to do with, you know, they have a big show coming up. And, you know, but you just needed to have more names, more faces on these cards. It's good to highlight some of these younger guys, but you need to have more faces when you're trying to connect the audience. Because when the audience sees CM Punk and then sees a bunch of people they've never seen or heard of, they don't want to turn on the TV show, unfortunately. You know, they want to see guys they know. And that was a miscalculation there, I think, on that part. But they did do a match I predicted, which was Christian Cage and Kazarian versus Brandon Cutler, who I love
Kenny,
this guy.
And Brandon
and
Cutler.
Kenny. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, on Rampage.
I literally, they did it. I go, they got to put this as a tag match together. I go, Kenny and Brandon versus Kaz and Christian. I go, you got to put it on Rampage. And then they did. And I was like, I
love
fucking told
it. And obviously, you know, week after week, Elite Hunter Kaz is top tier. But we have to talk about Brandon Cutler.
Oh, Brandon Cutler
he
has been
fucking fantastic.
Well, I've been, like I said, I would much rather watch Brandon Cutler than a lot of other people. When they talk about a guy who they treat kind of like a, you know, an enhancement. Brandon Cutler, he looks fantastic.
He's
Brandon
thriving.
Cutler sells great. He's hilarious. He's funny. Brandon Cutler has got a lot of tools.
He's really embraced this right-hand man to the Elite, and like I think that he's doing fantastic
work. Yeah, Brandon Cutler is very enjoyable, very entertaining to watch. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah.
That's easy. He's a tremendous hand to have, a tremendous individual to have on the roster because of what he adds to this. And he could take a bump. He's a great salesman. I mean, he is doing his job to the absolute perfection.
Oh yeah, no, that's top tier shit as well. But on that note, that brings us to presumably the main event of All Out, which is Kenny versus Christian.
Yeah, again, a match I thought would have a stip. Just
because
you're running
it
back.
It could
be, but it doesn't need it.
No, it doesn't.
I thought it would have a stip, but just because I'm saying I thought doesn't mean that they need it. I think it's going to be a great wrestling match. I mean, you saw a kind of had a taste of what they had on Rampage, and people said, well, why are you doing it twice? Well, think about this. I don't know if I said this last week. I can't remember. I apologize if I did or I didn't. I just remember talking about this before. Think about this. Christian Cage hasn't wrestled in 7 years. The guys, the individuals, the styles that he was wrestling 7 years ago are drastically different than today. They're not Kenny Omega. Christian is not familiar with him. He's not familiar with the style. He needs a little bit of a crash course, and it's easier said than done. You can't just, you know, it's not as simple as going down and training and practicing a match in front of nobody and putting it together. You know, get out there. See how Christian handles it. See how you hang in front of a real audience. You have a real match. And guess what? You come out of it, you feel like $1 million, and you go, hey, this is going to be something great. This is going to be special. We're going to do the rematch at the All Out. That's what you do. It's all about getting familiarity with one another. It's Christian working, like I said, a style that he's not familiar with, that he now has an opportunity to practice in front of a crowd, how it's going to be it All Out. He does it on Rampage. He has Kenny Omega. It's a great match. Kenny sells like $1 million for him. And now they're going to do it again. And I think it's going to be even better than the first one. There's confidence in everybody to do it. There's confidence, I'm sure, in Christian Cage to do it. And This is really good. I think this was the right way they did it with the two matches. That way, everybody's very, very comfortable come All Out.
Yeah, it should be another excellent match.
The question is, let's say, you know, Hangman gets this belt at Full Gear. Let's say he comes out, you know, comes back, returns, big pop, because Kenny's reign of terror is going to come to an end. Let's just say. What speculative opponents would you look at Hangman? I mean, you need some bad guys. You know, you want to see big-time matchups. You want to see Hangman and Moxley. You want to see maybe Hangman and Omega again. You want to see Hangman and Christian Cage. You want to see, you know, do we want to see Hangman Pac now run it back?
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, Brian Danielson, CM Punk could potentially be there. You know, there's a lot that could be here. It's just I really do hope that at this point AEW starts giving us those bigger matchups so that they're not filling space and just wasting away what would be 300 days. Tell me a memorable, besides the Pac Orange Cassidy match, which was a great match, tell me somebody that Kenny Omega faced that you actually believed he would lose to since he won the belt in December. Maybe Moxley at Revolution in that barbed wire match,
yeah.
But people really didn't believe it because you knew that he, you know, he knew his wife was pregnant and people liked to bring personal lives into this, and you know they like to calculate it in estimation of if somebody's going to win a title or not. So you know, in that case, that was the only one that I believe that maybe Moxley
yeah.
would get it back. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about 300 days of just what? He had more matches in Impact that you thought he'd lose, and ended up losing to Christian Cage. But, you know, Christian gets the win, which kind of sells, hey, Christian could be the AEW World Champion.
Right.
Not saying he will be, but yeah, he could be. He has the ability to do it. He has the ability to beat him. I think that's as important as anything. But it kind of gets us over to what is, which kind of brings us over to Wrestle Grand Slam, which is happening the same weekend. GCW has a handful of shows that weekend.
Yes, the Second City Summit. We will be at the GCW Black Label Pro 3 Cup Stuffed on Friday night. We are doing GCW Art of War Games on Saturday night.
We'll have All Out on Sunday. Don't think that we're going to end up doing Rampage.
No.
It all depends on what the circumstances are. We are doing the Black Label Pro show.
Yeah. Might do Effie's Big A Brunch.
It's possible. We're going to try to meet up at whatever that tailgate is they're running at the event.
Yeah, we're gonna be there hanging out with some people.
Yeah, if we can hang out with a bunch of people.
Tailgate.
That's what it is. The Wingman tailgate. We'll get to go over that. Well, maybe we'll do like a Facebook. Not a Facebook. What the hell am I talking about? We'll try to do an Instagram live, maybe. We'll just try to, like, you know, we're hanging out, people. Kind of document the experience. If people are out there, we're hanging out, you know, hanging out with the Wingmen, drinking beer.
Sounds like a good time to me.
But, you know, we're going to try to hit up a bunch of these shows best that we can. I mean, CM Punk is just crippled. You know, talking to, you know, individuals on Twitter and then, you know, Rob. CM Punk has crippled his secondary market. But they're coming down again in price, and I'm sure, you know, look, make them sweat. Bring it down to the end of the line. But, I mean, CM Punk has just driven this market price to an astounding figure.
Well, it's not something we expected necessarily a few
months
back.
No, nobody expected that. You can't anticipate that CM Punk was going to be wrestling at this pay-per-view.
Still doesn't feel real.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's because it's been like 2 weeks.
Seeing him on Diamond, I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, and he's having a great time, which is nice to see. Like, we talked about that before when we saw the guys on AEW, like, having a good time. Like, they're enjoying the time they're spending.
Just seem genuinely happy. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, CM Punk just looks like he's having a really good time on Dynamite. So, look, Darby Allin versus CM Punk's going to be big. We'll see what CM Punk does next. That's one of those things we talked about, too. It's like, I got a couple of matches, got a couple pay-per-views, and, you know, he's going to go out there and have such a good time, he's going to want to be around the whole show. You know how it is. Like, Christian was, you know, he already said, too, like, I didn't expect to be wrestling as much as I already have, but, look, he's enjoying it. He's having a great time. He's having great matches. So, that's a preview show for All Out. A little bit of a recap with Dynamite. We just wanted to get the preview because we really didn't have an opportunity to do it. If you think about it, we're leaving on Thursday morning. So we're actually going to be, of course, in Chicago for the Rampage. It's kind of like, you know, where do we have the time or the spot to do the podcast with the pay-per-view coming up? So that's why, you know, hey, we'll do it now. We'll get the preview out. People can look forward to it this week. I'm sure the Dynamite's going to have a lot of, you know, loose ends tied up as we get closer to the pay-per-view. Dynamite's going to be in Chicago. Rampage live in Chicago. So, two big-time shows, big-time audiences, and, you know, again, an opportunity with the Now Arena. We'll see, again, going forward, if they do end up making All Out kind of a hub for Labor Day weekend, which just is so challenging with the cost of the travel.
This year especially. Last time we went, it wasn't as bad, I feel like.
Well, for Revolution, it was great. Revolution was very, very affordable. Wintrust Arena was a great arena, very nice place, kind of cool locations, a newer venue, host DePaul, which is our alma mater.
Yes, yes it is.
It was a cool place. It was a cool experience. And, you know, obviously, maybe going forward, the United Center might be the way to go.
I think that would be pretty cool.
20,000 seats for an all-out show next year. I know CM Punk was hinting maybe, you know, Wrigley Field.
Oh, I would love that.
But then, you know, a thunderstorm comes through and we're all sitting in the, you know, the cover. But nonetheless, we appreciate you spending your past hour with us talking about previews. Listen, anybody else have any predictions? Ash, let's run through a quick prediction as we wrap it up. You think Young Bucks or Lucha Bros?
I'm going to take the Bucks.
I think you're still holding on. I think it's time for the Lucha Brothers to win. I know it's out of nowhere. The story makes no sense. Why is this team getting a random shot in the pay-per-view in the steel cage? I love the way that Tony Schiavone hyped the steel cage. I'm going to take the Lucha Brothers.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but like you said, there's just the story kind of came out of nowhere. So I'm sticking with the Bucks. That is fine. Paul White versus QT Marshall. I'm going to take Paul White.
Yep, me too, Paul White.
Jericho versus MJF.
I'm going to take Jericho.
I'm going to take MJF.
You think Jericho's done wrestling forever?
I don't know, but I'm going to take MJF. Just the way the story's been going. Andrade versus Pac.
This is a tough one.
This is very tough.
Yeah. I think Andrade's going to win.
Yeah, my heart says Pac, but my gut says Andrade. Punk versus Darby.
CM Punk.
Punk, yeah. Mox versus Kojima.
John Moxley.
Mox. Moxman. Miro versus Eddie Kingston.
Miro.
Yeah. Dr. Britt versus Statlander. I'm going to take Dr. Britt.
Yeah.
And then Kenny versus Christian.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Kind of predictable show. You know, at the end, the cost for these pay-per-views is like, you know, not the, you know, not at home. I don't know if it's going to be less money than usual because it's moved from Bleacher Report Live now to the regular Bleacher Report.
Oh.
Yes, so Bleacher Report Live is no longer in existence. It's now, everything has been migrated to Bleacher Report. I don't know if it's changed the prices, so everybody kind of, you know, make sure if you were familiar or you were buying it on Bleacher Report Live that you now know how to migrate over your account. I'm just kind of like throwing that out there as we get a week in advance just so that everybody kind of is aware it's no longer on Bleacher Report Live and it will be on Bleacher Report.
Thank you for that. I did not realize.
Unless individuals can purchase it on Fight TV, I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's just international. I've only purchased it on the Bleacher Report Live.
But with that, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, hope you're doing well and staying safe. We are at Dojo and Dynamite on Twitter, at Dojo and Dynamite on Instagram, dojoanddynamite@gmail.com. And I believe that you got our email up and running, right?
I did. Yes.
Glad to hear. So you can submit any inquiries to the email if you'd like.
But Ashley, which Buck wore it best and why was it Don Callis?
In the pink?
In the pink. It was.
Don
Callis had a pink suit and a pink scarf, Ashley.
I did dig the scarf.
He looked great. And his rose-colored lenses.
He's very coordinated.
Very coordinated.
I appreciate that.
You have to appreciate Don Callis. Which Buck wore it best? Don Callis.
Dear Lord. If you're going to be out at All Out Weekend, let us know. We went through where we're going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If anyone's interested in meeting up, let us know. And we will be back later next week with another episode. Thanks, guys.